At Mount Carmel, we care for every part of you, from simple checkups to complex surgeries and everything in between. With a team of primary and specialty care physicians, specialized nurses, and expert staff who not only help you get better, but help you stay well. Here, care is compassionate, personal, trusted. We provide care without limits so you can live that way too. Mount Carmel, more care for all of you.
Football on Off the Ball.
People say to me, do you miss football, Keith? It's the days leading up, like a big game against the Czech Republic, being in the hotel, waking up the morning of it and turning on the news and seeing everything on RT and it, you know, just getting that feeling in your stomach of it's coming, something big is coming here. They're the moments I miss.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Well, it finished a disaster for Tottenham this afternoon. They were beaten 3-0 by Nottingham Forest in the Premier League. It means that Tottenham now still 1 point above West Ham, but they're one place further down the table. From a, I suppose, a morale point of view, Brian, that defeat today from Forest really is a hammer blow for that Tottenham squad and for their manager.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, Nottingham Forest similar position to Tottenham today. It was a game they couldn't really afford to lose, but they played very well. I kind of was worried before the game for Tottenham in that they've been so inconsistent. Now they won the game during the week against Atletico Madrid, but it was already over from the first leg where they were 3 goals down. The performance last week certainly gave them a bit of hope, getting a draw at Liverpool, who aren't in good form, let's be honest about it, and have lost 10 games in the league. But Nottingham Forest had a little bit more consistency about them, in my view. They've looked a bit more solid and better shape about them. And I wasn't really surprised that they were the team that came out on top today, even though Tottenham had plenty of possession in the first half. They really threatened. A lot of fairly hopeful and hopeless balls into the penalty area. Dealt well by Milenkovic and Morello, who were outstanding. The two full-backs came in and narrowed up. And Tottenham just kind of lost their way. They had 8 or 9 corner kicks. Didn't look like scoring off any of them. And yet, when Forrest got the first corner kick, they almost scored in the first one. They scored in the second one with an easy header. Dreadful marking. And that gave them gave them something to play on with the second half, that they were able to double down on their shape, on their organisation, and Spurs' confidence, whatever bit of confidence they may have had going into the game, drained from them as the second half wore on, the second goal killed them, and from there it was easy for Nottingham Forest, but they were the better team on the day, and Spurs were a bit of a shambles, I thought, all around.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't know Nottingham Forest supported by folks in all on Spurs. Vitor Pereira saved Wolves last season from a really tough position that they were in. He's got them into a quarter-final using a second-string team in that last 16 second leg against Michelin. So they're going to play against Porto. They've now given themselves a tiny bit of breathing space in the relegation battle. Do you think Vitor Pereira, and the way he's got the team, as you're very, gave him a lot of praise during the commentary as well for how they look shape-wise and how they were building through the phases. So would you be confident now that they're going to stay up? Have they got that confidence in the dressing room that you think, from looking at their fixtures, they'll get enough to keep themselves in the Premier League?
Yeah, I do. And I'd be confident because their supporters are fully behind them when they're playing at home. The crowd really backed the team. It's an atmospheric stadium. Whereas with the Tottenham games, the home games have become just a burden for them now. The crowd are edgy. The crowd react to any bit of nervousness or any bit of uncertain play. Vicario, they don't like him. As a goalkeeper, they don't feel he's good enough. And the goalie, second goalie that in today with Gibbs White, that will kind of put more fuel to the fire of that opinion to Tottenham fans. When that nervousness starts from the back when they're trying to build up in the crowd. The crowd start getting on the player's house. You can see the players become more and more anxious, and they don't have the quality or the characters in the team to overcome that. They don't have the experience either. There are young players playing between the defensive positions, the midfield. In the midfield area, particularly today, you look at Tarr and Archie Gray, and they just haven't been around long enough to get over that type of edginess that's in the stadium. But I would be confident that Nottingham Forest have enough about them at this stage. I mean, the centre-back pairing are very, very good. It's hard to reason why they've been in the trouble they're in to a degree. Maybe it's been the change around the managers and the influence of the owner and the anxiousness there is among the staff because of the style of the owner. But they look like now to me that they know what they're at, they know what they're about, they know how to play, they have a good solid base defensively, they're strong in midfield, a bit of pace in the wide positions and the physicality in the front positions, and they have the cleverness of Morgan Gibbs-White to do whatever's required in the game at the right time to manage a game when they're in a positive position, whether it's about getting a point or whether it's getting 3 points they were today. So I think Nottingham Forest will be okay.
Yeah, excuse me, we saw Vitor Pereira having a few points with Wolves fans last season after some great results. He might say get a few points around the Trent side maybe after that result today. And who knows, they could win a European trophy like Spurs last season and up the Champions League. But looking at Tottenham, Brian, like, listen, I know the great John Giles used to always say about fixtures that they're only games on paper, you know, you can't really kind of predict the outcomes. But when you go through the fixtures they've got left, Sunderland away from home, Brighton at home, Wolves away, Villa away, and then they're home to Leeds, away to Chelsea, and then home to Everton. Like, you look through those games, and it is really hard to see genuinely where they can pick up points. Now, that could change if they change manager. Do you think they'll do that over the international break?
I don't know, Stephen. With regards to fixtures, I mean, the three home fixtures left there, the home fixtures have become a burden, as I've said. Mm. You couldn't be confident about getting the points there. The away games, the last two decent results they've had in the Premier League have been away to Manchester City, a 2-1 draw, and Liverpool, a 1-1 draw. So those results suggest that they're capable of getting the odd, and they're overall, they've got 20 points away from home out of the points they have this season. They've got 30 points, so they've got 20 points away and 10 points at home, which tells you something, that they're capable of scrapping some points away from home. Do I think they'll change manager now? I don't know. It's hard to predict. They're all over the place, Tottenham. They're all over the place in the organisation, the administration, who's in charge, the decisions they've made, the appointments of managers. Like, why they decided to go for this manager is beyond me. We spoke about it when for his first game against Arsenal. We looked at his record deep into it that day, and I said, well, the positive thing is about his record is that he's done well with some teams that struggled in Italy. But the negative thing was he doesn't know the Premier League. He doesn't know the players. And that day we covered the Arsenal game. We were at the stadium and we said he obviously didn't know the players. He made mistakes in selection. The shape of the team didn't look right. The players didn't look like they knew what they were supposed to be doing. And that's continued on. He's had a result last week at Liverpool, which was positive, and the midweek result was positive. But they've been among a lot of very poor performances. But you wouldn't know what's going to happen. Myself, I'm not one for saying clubs should change managers. I generally support managers and say, I think he knows what he's doing. They need to be a bit patient with him, give him a bit of backing. But I think Tottenham have got to a stage where the situation is so desperate now, and the manager, the players don't look like they have any confidence in the manager. The manager doesn't look like he has confidence in many of those players because he keeps changing them around and changing positions they're playing in. I think they need someone that knows the players, knows the league, knows what's going to be required to get results at the various venues that they're going to play in, because it's going to be probably more about their away matches than their home matches. in terms of getting the points they need to stay up. They're in a dire situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Sean Dyche maybe could be that man that you mentioned already.
There's not been too much talk about him, Stephen, but yeah. I always admired his work. I think he's got stick about his style when he was at Burnley. He did a remarkable job to keep Burnley competitive in the Premier League for so many seasons. I thought he did a half-decent job at Everton too. David Moyes has taken it on and moved to another level this season. But I think he's a very solid, sound manager that knows the English game well and knows all the players. He's never had the quality. Spurs have some very good quality players. He's never been able to buy the type of players Tottenham bought over the last few seasons. I'd be interested to see him working with those, but I think the first thing they need is someone who's going to give them a chance of staying up. I think he would. He would do a good job. But I haven't really heard him mentioned in discussions. But we'll see what happens. Anything could happen with Tottenham now.
Yeah, well, their next game is Sunderland against Tottenham, 2:00 on the 12th of April. That'll be live and off the ball before Chelsea against Manchester City. In between that, just before you go, Brian, the Ireland game, you spoke to John about it before the match, not a lot of players and how the game might go. Just briefly, as a former manager yourself, and you know what it's like to try and get a team ready before big, big international games, and I suppose most importantly, that kind of last kind of team talk, like the team should be on a high after those two brilliant, brilliant wins against Portugal and Hungary, but it's been such a gap since then up till now before they take on Czechia on Thursday night. How does he try and bottle that and to give that team that last boost before they go out on the pitch to face Czechia?
I think that, you know, it'll be the work that's done during the week in advance of the game, once the players are all gathered in today, probably in terms of making sure that the players are clear in terms of understanding their roles and also being prepared for to have a plan B as well as plan A. I think, in fairness to Heimer, He showed that in the game against Hungary in particular, when he made so many changes. He made a very very strong change at half time with taking off Jacob Bryan, who's played in all the games since he's been manager, and putting on Ryan Manning and putting him in a more advanced position. Then he made really strong changes again on the 60th minute. He brought on a couple of attacking players, Kenny and Festi Obiseli come on. And, you know, I think those helped to turn the game. Not immediately. It went until the final seconds of injury time for all the drama that happened. But I think, I think they will be reminding the players of how they did it and what was achieved. They'll be looking back at the two games against Portugal. One, in the Portugal, I'm against Hungary. In Portugal, we played a very defensive game. We played a low block setup. We were on the back foot. It was the brilliance of the defensive work and the goalkeeper, Kelleher. He kept the scoreline 0-0 for so long, until eventually Ronaldo was put off there down to 10 men, and we took a couple of chances that we got. I think we'd be showing them some of the stuff that they've had to do at both ends of the pitch, and remind the players that there's no easy way of doing it, and making sure their mental attitude is right, that they're disciplined, and that nobody does anything too silly or makes the type of mistakes that put us in the position that we needed to get 6 points from the last two games, because there were lots of mistakes made by defensive players, by midfield players, in the earlier games that left us in a position that was do or die, and that we can't afford those type of mistakes and concentration that we made by various players, by Nathan Collins, the captain at times, under hitting passes. And so often Peter Kelleher has to rescue us. So, you know, I think that's the type of stuff that will go on over the next few days. It won't be any one thing. Mm. It won't be about the speech in the dressing room at the last minute. But I'm confident that the players will be at the right pitch before the game in the Czech Republic, and we'll be ready for it. I just hope that we have enough to get through that game and get us into the final against Denmark or North Macedonia, wherever it is going to be, which we can't control.
to all you boys in green. Thanks, Brian.
Come on, the Ireland.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.